Sins of us, like me.
Worship with us here at Crossroads Fellowship. We do want to extend a special welcome and greeting to those that are guests with us. If you are a guest, we do have a special gift for you on your way out at the information desk. Make sure you grab that gift. It has some information about our church. It's a nice little gift. So we want to welcome you with us this morning. Let me offer a word of prayer, and then we'll receive God's greeting. Lord Jesus, we thank you for gathering us together in this place. We thank you, God, for your care of the world. Lord, we live and move and have our being from you. Lord, you've made us to gaze upon your glory, and I pray we would do that today. Let us see you. May we hear from you, Lord, that we may receive what is right and true and live in your way. We pray in your name. Amen. Receive the greeting from our Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's greet each other this morning.
Sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in, when death was life, sin and my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. Death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me know now. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made with you. It's your endless love pouring down. Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with a firearm in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. So free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you.
We offer all we have in service to God. His grace breaks us free from the bondage of sin, freeing us to serve. Romans 14 tells us that sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. Gracefully broken, that's what we are.
Take all I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Oh, take all I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken. My heart stands in awe of your name. Your mighty love stands strong to the end. You will fulfill your purpose for me. You won't forsake me. You will be with me. Here I am, God, arms wide open, pouring out my life, gracefully broken. Here I am, God, arms wide open. Jesus now, holding nothing back, holding nothing back, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. Surrender. Here I am, God, arms wide open,
You may be seated. Well, we have a full service today, a good and full service. We wrap up our study on the five solas, Solia Deo Gloria today. To God be the glory. And we'll glorify God in our last application with baptism. Valanda Jane DeBrine. During our offertory, we have a presentation on the Liberian team. They'll talk a little bit about what we're going to talk about at the meal afterwards. And so this is also the invitation to our fellowship meal. If you haven't brought any food, that's okay. Join us to eat and hear from Brad and Kevin about the upcoming trip to Liberia. Next week, we have communion together. So this week, we prepare. We prepare our hearts to come before God to receive the elements. And part of our preparation is the call to self-examination. Now, we know in our study of the five solas, we are not the ones who make ourselves right with God. This is a work of God alone in us. But when he gives us his Spirit making us more like Christ convicts us of sin. And so our call, with his Spirit's work in us, is to acknowledge the sin he's made known and to repent of it. So as we prepare for communion next week, the first call is a call to self-examination. Use this week to examine your life. What is the Holy Spirit revealing? What are some of the sins you need to acknowledge and turn from? And it may be sins like holding forgiveness from people. It may be not offering forgiveness to others. It may be those. It may be very specific sins that you're wrestling with and maybe have wrestled with for years. Acknowledge those before God. Repent of them. Trust his way. If you need help in acknowledging sin, we have elders, myself as well. Talk to us after the service or throughout the week, and we'll pray for you. But come ready to receive the Lord's table next week. Let me pray before the kids are dismissed. Lord Jesus, I do ask, as we consider our life in you and the work that you have done and are doing in us, even as we sang to acknowledge that we are broken, we don't come into this place because we have it all together. We come here because you do. And as those who have received you, Lord, help us live in light of your great victory. Let us come prepared to the table next week. We pray this in your name. Amen. At this time, the kids are dismissed for children and worship. Follow the flag. So we do wrap up our study on this Reformation Day. 500 years we celebrate the Reformation today. We've considered its importance, its impact. We'll do a little revisiting of some of the things we talked about in the last few weeks. We'll look at those this morning. But the text I choose for this morning's sermon, Romans 11, verse 36, and this is where Soli Deo Gloria comes from. The end of that verse, to him be glory forever and ever, right? That's the purpose of all creation. That's why God made things. That's why he made us, that he will receive all the glory, and he will, whether you give it to him or not. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. The day is coming when all the nations will come to him for counsel. This is what creation is about, giving glory to God. This past week, I was able to attend a conference. One of the privileges of being a pastor, you get continuing ed, and so we chose a conference, a friend and I, in Chicago. The conference was titled For Pastor Theologians, and it was good. It was really, really a heady conference. You know, most of the guys there had PhDs or were pursuing PhDs, and it's interesting. You know, we dress how we want people to treat us, and we dress like those were around, and so I didn't get the memo. Everyone had to have jeans and a blazer on, right? That's how PhDs dress, I guess. And I had a t-shirt on, and I walked in, and I told my friend, no one's going to talk to me. But people did, and it was interesting. The first table we sat at, just to get a feel of this conference, we sat down at a table, and I started talking to a man, and the man introduced himself, and he said, you know, I'm the owner of a $5 million computer software company here in Chicago. I've written two best-selling books. One of them is on advertising and Google. Who are you? I'm Mark. Right? You know, but it's interesting. So there was a good balance of presenters and teachers at this conference. Old Testament history professors talking about the historical Adam, who he was or who he represented. Down to Andy Crouch. Maybe you know the name. He wrote the book Culture Making. And I hadn't read it, but I want to now after hearing his presentation. The final presenter was kind of the balance to the conference. It was a musician, songwriter, Andrew Peterson. I don't know if you're familiar with Andrew Peterson's music, and I would encourage you to listen to it. It's maybe different than you'll hear on Christian radio. It has more story than a beat. It has more meaning, and it's not very, his songs are not forgettable. But he shared in his presentation of his hatred of gardening, and he said he grew up in a home where his parents gardened, and he just hated it. He hated to weed the garden. And long story short, through the writings of author Wendell Berry, I don't know if you've read any of his works, Andrew Peterson said that he began to get a bigger view of God and who God is. And he got such a big view of who God is, he decided to plant a garden. And he tells the story, he planted a garden, he did his best tilling up the soil, and that year he said he grew one tomato. And he said it was the best tomato he ever grew. It was a glorious tomato where he saw the glory of God in this little tomato. And he called his parents and said, I grew a tomato. And his parents are like, what are you talking about? So the glory of God in a tomato, right? So when we met that guy that owns the $5 million computer business, I wish Andrew Peterson was there. He could say, I grew a tomato, right? You see, but the point is, you see the glory of God in every area of life, in all the jobs he's given us to do, from computer software companies to planting a garden. Now, there was one speaker there, and the reason I give you this intro is to talk about her a bit. Now, her name is Deb Harsma. She was a professor at Calvin. Her husband still teaches there. She got her PhD from MIT, and as an astrophysicist, she controlled the telescopes down in Arizona, those big turning satellite-looking ones. That was her job. Now, not everyone shared her view of creation, but she shared something I want to hit at this morning. It's important as we get to this topic of To God Be the Glory. I want to share it with this video, and I want to explain the video a little bit as we move into our theme for this morning. So you've seen pictures from the Hubble telescope. In 1996, some scientists did an experiment with the Hubble telescope. It's a premium to use this thing, I guess, and so what they did was pretty controversial at the time. They picked a little spot in space, a little blank spot. The spot would be that's the spot there, but it'd be about as big of a grain of sand held out at the length of your hand. That's how big the blank spot was. They focused the Hubble telescope at that little spot, this blank spot that showed nothing. And they let the camera soak in the light. They left it open for 10 days. You know, so all the light comes in so they can really see what's there. And guess what they saw when they left this camera open for 10 days? In this blank spot, no bigger than a grain of sand at the end of your arm stretched out. They let all the light in. And what they saw will show next. It's a picture from 1996. And here it comes. They're just describing on this video the light coming in to the sensor of the camera and what they discovered. And here it is. Galaxy after galaxy after galaxy after galaxy. In this little blank spot that we can't see with our naked eye, galaxy after galaxy after galaxy. The glory of God in a tomato. Galaxy after galaxy. The glory of God in all of creation, right? At the end of the service, we're baptizing Elena. Now, maybe one of these galaxies would be like our galaxy with Earth. Tiny little dot, and here we are. Tiny, tiny, in this great galaxy. And God loves us. God created all this so we would know about his glory. Then he took on flesh, born of a virgin in the Middle East, right? To live life in our place that we couldn't live. To take our sin upon himself. To rise again, freely justifying us. The glory of God. All over. The glory of God in baptism, right? You know, when I look at this picture, I'm reminded right away of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all of the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun. If you were to back up to Psalm 8, verses 3 to 4, the psalmist wrote this. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him. When we consider these things, our only response is the response that comes from the Reformation. Soli Deo Gloria. To God be the glory. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we consider this morning the work of your hands, as we consider your life and death and rising again, and your great love for those that trust you and follow you, might we end with the phrase, glory to God forever. You could say indirectly there was a question in the Reformation. What part of your life should be lived to the glory of God? What would you say? What part of your life needs to be devoted specifically to the glory of God? Is there a sacred and a secular split? That's how we might ask it today. 500 years ago, in the face of the papacy and monastic division, there were divisions between sacred and secular, if we were to call it that. And the reformers said, within all these solas, to God be the glory in everything, right? There is no division. It's all God's. It all belongs to him, right? Even the air we breathe, it's his. You don't leave this place and stop giving glory to God. Our life lived to his glory looks like all the things he's given us to do when we do them with excellence. The Westminster Confession. I've been throwing in different confession pieces. This isn't ours. This would be the Presbyterians. But they have a great little summary when they ask, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is this. The chief end of all of us is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Glorify God, that's our chief end, and enjoy him forever, they go together, right? When you glorify God, when you're focused on who he is and what he's done, joy wells up. This is our mission, essentially. At every stage of life, at every age of life, at breakfast, at dinner, at work, at church, all of life belongs to God. We belong to God. Glory to God in everything. How many of us are living that way, right? That's my question. I know I don't all the time, and I want to. That is our goal. This was what the Reformation addressed, broadly speaking, in this sola. Let's unpack this a little bit. I have another short video here.
It's commonly understood that in order to enter the kingdom of God, you need to have God's approval. Another way of saying this is, you need to be righteous in God's sight. So the next question is, how do we become righteous? Luther's notoriety remains today because his views on the Christian faith, including what makes a Christian righteous, run counter to what most people think. He understood Christians actually have two kinds of righteousness. One concerns God. The other concerns everyone else. Let's first look at what makes you righteous before God. Luther followed the teachings of Scripture. Faith in Christ makes you righteous before God. How you get this righteousness is where Luther's thought runs counter to most everyone else. Luther understood you're passive in your righteousness before God, and God is active in you. How so? Well, God is the one active in faith. He gives you faith. You don't do something to get faith. Well, this means you actually can't do anything to make yourself righteous or acceptable to God. Now, take a look at the second kind of righteousness, the one that has to do with our standing before everyone else. In this arena, we are very active. We make decisions, we vote, we perform our vocations of spouse, parent, sibling. And your standing before your neighbor is directly related to how well you do these things. Luther recognized that most people misunderstood the Bible by confusing these two kinds of righteousness. This is where Luther's thinking was so radically different from most people's. He knew your righteousness before God was completely separate from your righteousness before the neighbor. And that was actually the source of great comfort for Luther and for us. God doesn't base his approval on what we do or what we don't do. God's approval is based only on what He alone gives us, faith in Christ. All of this was said and done so you can remember, a mighty fortress is our God.
You know, I think when we grasp these solas that we've talked about these last few weeks, they're going to become foundational for you. I mean, you're going to face hardship. Some of you have faced hardship. And we're all going to come to a point at the end of life with a question, where am I going, right? If you have this theology down, you'll know that you belong to God because of what He's done, not because of what you do, right? And that's our struggle. We think that we earn from God or we purchase from God by how good we are. But the point of this, it's all the work of God, your salvation. And it's God alone. We talked about sola scriptura, that scripture is the final and highest authority in the church, saying that in everything that scripture addresses, it is to be the final and authoritative word. So all things we learn from other sources have to be compared to that final standard of God's word. We talked about by grace alone, that in salvation, we do not earn any part of our salvation. People don't earn it for us. We don't purchase it from the church. Tradition doesn't make us closer to God. It's completely undeserved from God, and you can't ever pay Him back. It's by grace alone we're saved, right? And that's through faith. We talked about faith alone, that faith is the bridge that connects us to Jesus who justifies us. Jesus alone saves us. Faith alone connects us to Him. Not our penitence, not the works that we do. We're not saved by baptism plus faith. We're not saved by church membership plus faith. It's faith alone in Christ, and that brings us to Christ alone. He is the one who saves us, beginning, middle, and end. And when we get these things down, the only response is to God be the glory, right? That's where we are today. To God be the glory. I can't earn this stuff. I can't purchase it. But God gives it freely through Christ, His Son. So here we are. To God be the glory. A couple of verses, as I read them, ask yourself what they have in common. Now, this is just a sampling of a wider range of similar verses. 1 Peter 4, Peter says this, if anyone speaks, 1 Peter 4:11, if you're following along, and I hope you are, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it as the strength of God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Romans 1, verses 5b to 6. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work in us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. To Him be the glory. To God be the glory. He is our focus. He is our objective. But we live in such a way where we want the glory, right? Look at me. I want to make a name for myself. And I'll be honest with you, like I could preach the most articulate sermon up here if I was able to. And if I didn't point you to God, I have failed. It's a failure. I could preach a terrible sermon and point you to God. It's a success. My job is not to point to me. My job is to point everyone here to God. And this is the heart of the Reformation, Soli Deo Gloria. To God be the glory. That is our calling as we live our lives after Christ. Now, we have to ask the question, though, what is glory? What does glory mean? What in your life is glorious? How do you understand that definition? All illustrations fail, but let's just take a shot at it here. Some of you, a couple months ago, drove a few hours to see something I've heard defined as glorious. Right? We've all seen pictures of the eclipse. It was funny when Deb Harsma was talking at the conference, she said, do you know what the scientific term for an eclipse is? The moon goes in front of the sun. It was like, thank you, MIT grad. That's it. You know, and so, but when you think about the eclipse, you know, the terms I heard about this for those of you that drove to see it, it was beautiful, It was wonderful. It was glorious, right? And especially this point is what people would talk about. When the moon fully covered the sun and it looked like rays of white and some red light were shooting out. That was glorious is what people said, right? As believers, we can say those words, and at the end of the day, we know who set this scenario up, right? We give glory to him. I mean, just think about kind of the absurdity of it, right? You have this tiny moon, this gigantic sun. God puts them in this exact place where the moon fully covers the sun, right? And he's made us to enjoy it. That's crazy, right? But we enjoy it not to give glory to the sun and moon. We enjoy it to give glory to God who made the sun and moon and made us to enjoy it. So when you look at an eclipse or anything similar, we say glory to God, right? That is the natural response of the believer. In the words of one author, he said, God's zeal is to be glorified. That is his zeal. It's what he created all things and us for. You know, we're to look at the galaxies that I had pictured earlier and say, God's zeal for his glory is that we look at these things through telescopes, maybe at night, and say, to God be the glory. It is for his glory that he put those things in the heavens. We exist to give glory to God. When we hear the word God, and we see God in the face of Christ, the end result for the person of faith in glorifying God is to find joy. That is the natural response. When you're glorifying God, when you're living out your created meaning and order, you find joy, right? And we look for joy in so many places, but places that always let us down, places that don't completely fulfill, that don't last, right? We look for joy in places that will not die for us, but we guarantee will always fail us. And so I know there are some here who do not have joy. You don't. I mean, you feel joy because maybe next week you're going to buy that thing you've been waiting to buy, like you have that excitement. Or you feel that sense of joy in your home, or your cars, or your college sports teams yesterday, right? But it's not joy that will ultimately last for you. It won't. You're created for a greater joy. That's the whole point. You're created for a deeper joy. And that joy can only come from giving glory to God. He gets all the glory, you get that joy, and it lasts forever. This is the heart of the Reformation. Our salvation is not found in the work of the church, of the actions of penance, the certificates of forgiveness, but salvation from beginning, middle, and end is found in Christ alone, to glory, to God alone, and joy overflows. I hope our church gets that. Like, people throughout history got it. I know they did. If you've ever listened to the music, Johann Sebastian Bach, when he would write his music, this is a picture of one of the scores he wrote, he would put a little label on each sheet of music, and he would write these three letters, S-D-G, S-D-G, Soli Deo Gloria. Everything he wrote, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, in all his music, right? And I ask, can we live that way? In the things that God has given us to do, from forming a business, from stocking a shelf, to changing a diaper, S-D-G. To God be the glory, right? In all things, right? It's not just in separate things aside from life. It's in the things that God has given us to do. We can give glory to God in every part of life. I love Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. He said this, so whether you eat or drink, who here had breakfast this morning? I mean, rhetorical, I'm sure everybody did. In whatever you eat at breakfast, in whatever you drink at breakfast, do it all for the glory of God, right? That's awesome. That's like the glory of God in a tomato, right? I can drink milk to the glory of God. I mean, are you kidding me? every area of life, SDG, Soli Deo Gloria. We have to live this way. This is what we're called to. You know, and really, when we live this way, yeah, people are watching us, right? It's not just the cameras around town. Like we're all watching each other, right? Unbelievers are watching us. And what do they see in us, right? Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 5. In the same way, let your light shine before men. Okay, fair enough, we can do that, right? We can live the Christian life outside these doors, but what's the point? What's the point of that? Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That they may see your good deeds and that they may too give glory to God, right? When people see you giving glory to God in all things, they may as well end up giving glory to God. That is good news, right? And we know what this looks like. You know, I have people in my life, I'm sure you have people in your life that you just love hanging out with because their trust and faith in God is contagious. When you hang out with them for like 5 or 10 minutes, you feel like you love the Lord more. It's contagious. We know how this works. Are we being contagious and giving glory to God? You know, this is the end result for all of creation anyway. This is where history is headed to. Where the whole creation gives glory to God, right? And we pray, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like, we're pursuing these things. All of creation giving glory to God. It's not a day that's just coming. It's a day that it is coming more and more. Are we participating in that is our question. You know, and someone might say, well, you know, I give glory to God when I'm in the woods by myself. That's the only place I sense God's presence. You know, fine, you will see the glory of God in the woods. But that's not what you were saved to, right? You were saved to a body of believers. You were saved to the body of Christ. We give glory together, and it's contagious together, right? And we know how this contagiousness works. You might not know it, but you will. When we sing together, even the songs of praise, it's good to sing together, right? It gets us in the framework of looking upon God and giving him glory. Imagine if you just came in here by yourself and me. You had to sing the song by yourself, and I would preach, and then you'd sing a song by yourself, right? It'd be terrible. it would be terrible, right? In the sense of we're made to be a people together. When we raise our voices together, it's contagious. In the sense of giving God glory together, it rises, it grows in all of us. And there's more that's happening as well. What's happening in heaven right now? Various portions of Revelation, we get a glimpse. In Revelation 4, we read this, and John says, and before the throne there was what looked like a great sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second like an ox, the third like the face of a man, as John describes what he's seeing. He said each of the four living creatures had wings, which covered their eyes all around. And we're like, yeah, John, what were they doing? John says this, day and night they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Day and night, that's what they're saying, right? And when we sing our praise, in one sense, we're joining that heavenly praise, right? Of those around God's throne. And this is what all creation is coming to. Soli Deo Gloria. During the time of the Reformation, the glory of God, in one sense, was being hidden from the church. It was being blocked by tradition. It was being twisted through teaching. And the reformers very really opened the door back up. One author says this, the reformers opened the door again to the public display of the infinite beauty and worth of God. That door is open. We live in a time where we can look through that door and we can see the infinite beauty and the glory of God. We can see it, right? Do we see it this way is our question. In Christ, do you see your purpose here on earth? To declare the glory of God in everything he's given you to do, not just on Sunday morning for an hour. That's not what you were made for. You were made to give God glory by scrubbing floors to his glory, managing teams at work to his glory, writing computer programs to his glory, right? folding clothes to his glory. Every area that God has placed us, we point to him and we say, Soli Deo Gloria. So I said we have a very specific way we're going to apply this morning. And we come to that application on this Reformation Day. An application that will yell, Soli Deo Gloria. We have the privilege of baptizing Helena Jane DeBrine. And in baptism, we declare with Mark and Betsy and their family that this child is a part of the family of God to the glory of God. And you might ask, well, how does that work? How does this child receive this great joy? One way, as Mark and Betsy and I were talking, and I used the illustration too a few weeks ago with the junior high, and I use my daughter. I'll just use our last name. When our kids were born, we didn't hold them on that first day and say, I hope you choose to become a Jasinski. Like, who would choose that name, right? That's not what we asked. They were born and we're like, Jasinski, right here, right? Whether you like it or not, this is the family you're born into. Mark and Betsy DeBrine bear the name Christian. Elena is born not only a DeBrine, but into a family that bears the name of Christ. DeBrine, Christian. This is who she's born into, right? And we're acknowledging that. Now she'll show it with her life, if she follows God or not. But we acknowledge what family she's a part of. You know, just like babies were circumcised as infants under the old covenant, a sign they didn't earn or choose, a recognition of God's favor to them. So in the new covenant, expressing a new reality of what Christ has done in washing and cleansing us from sin, we use water. And this covenant is not less than the old covenant. We do not exclude the children. We acknowledge they are part of the family of God. So that's what is going to happen here as we give glory to God. But we all have a responsibility in this as well, right? And so the first thing we all do as a congregation, in baptism, we remember our own baptisms. Now, maybe you were baptized as a baby and you don't remember the water being sprinkled on you. But you know that you were baptized. So in baptism, remember what baptism means for you. Also remember you have a responsibility to the DeBrines, to Elena. All the years that we're privileged to worship with the DeBrines, we should be pointing Elena to God, helping her give glory to God her whole life. That is our job. And we're here to encourage Mark and Betsy as we celebrate with their joy. I want to pray, and then I'd like Mark and Betsy to come forward, and Rodney as well. Let me pray. God, we thank you for the covenant sign and seal, expressing the reality of what you have done, Jesus. To all those who receive you in faith, cry out, glory to God in the highest. And I pray that would be Elena's joy her whole life. And we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, if you guys, maybe they came forward. I'll be using the liturgy from the 2013 CRC's liturgy. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is key. This is not some generic baptism. This is the baptism in the name of the triune God that we serve. And teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Paul in Ephesians 4, verses 4 to 6 says this, hear also these words from Holy Scripture, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. So as I encourage you all to remember your baptisms, what is baptism according to our liturgy? Hear these words. Baptism is the sign and seal of God's promise to his covenant people. In baptism, God promises by grace alone to forgive our sins, to adopt us into the body of Christ, the church, to send the Holy Spirit daily to renew and to cleanse us, and to resurrect us to eternal life. So we consider, what does water do? Now we know water cleanses, it refreshes, it sustains us. As you consider the water is not magical. This is water. But what is a part of baptism in the command of God and anything that he commands is his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is present when we're obedient in his commands. Now I know both parents as well as Mark and Betsy have been excited for this day. Brian and Jane, I think you've been excited since 1999. Wait, we're looking in the right direction here, right? Oh, right here? Since 1999, right? When you went to Jerusalem and you got water, right? You got water from the Jordan. And so, you know, the water that Christ was baptized into, we're going to add it to our water this morning since they brought it back. Betsy also made note that the baptismal gown was the one that you wore and the one that your mom wore. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Very neat. Water. Jesus is our living water. Through baptism, Christ calls us to new obedience, to love and to trust God completely, to forsake all the evil of the world and to live a new and holy life. Yet, when we fall into sin, we must not despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin. For baptism is the sign and the seal of God's eternal covenant of grace with us.
Pastor, on behalf of the elders of Crossroads Church, I present Mark and Betsy DeBrine, who bring their child, Elena Jane DeBrine, for the sacrament of baptism.
All right, so we do have questions for you. The same ones we went over, so I'm not going to surprise you. Mark and Betsy, you stand before your church, having brought Elena Jane to receive the sacrament of baptism. So I ask you, therefore, before God and Christ's church, to reject evil, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and to confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce sin and the power of evil in your life and in the world? If so, say, we renounce it.
We renounce it.
So the key question in all of this, who is your Lord and Savior? Do you promise to instruct Elena in the truth of God's word, in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, to pray for her, to teach her to pray, to train her in Christ's way by your example through worship and in the nurture of the church? If so, say we do, and we ask God to help us.
We do, and we ask God to help us.
Will the congregation please stand? So when you answer this question, answer it honestly. Don't just say it because everyone else is saying it. You are committing to this if you answer this question, okay? Do you promise to love, encourage, and support this child of the covenant by teaching her the gospel of God's love, by being an example of Christian faith and character, and by giving the strong support of God's family in fellowship, prayer, and in service? And if you do, let's say together, we do. Let's confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. There he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let me pray. God, we give you thanks for the work of Christ on our behalf, for the gift of water. We're reminded in the beginning of creation, your Spirit hovered over the waters. In the waters of the flood, you destroyed evil. You led the children of Israel through the waters in the freedom of the promised land. In the river Jordan, John baptized you, Jesus, with water, and your Spirit anointed you. Jesus, by your death and resurrection, you are our living water. You free us from sin and death, and you open the way to life everlasting. And we thank you, God, for the gift of baptism. In this water, you confirm to us that we are buried with Christ in his death and raised to share in his resurrection and are being renewed by the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit so that those here baptized may be washed clean and receive new life. To you be all honor and glory, dominion and power, now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated. It's okay. As Betsy hands her to me, she's a little wet. And that's okay. Because you're going to get a little bit more wet here. Elena, child of the covenant, for you Jesus died and for you he rose again. We love because he first loved us. And we're going to help you see God all the days of your life that you might give him glory. So Elena, we baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Elena Jane, child of the covenant, you belong to God.
Right. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable judgments, how untraceable his paths. Who knows the mind of our God? Who could bring counsel to him? Who is given to God that God should repay? For from him, through him, to him is everything. To God be the glory forever and ever. To God be the glory forever. Amen. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, how untraceable his path. The mind of our God, who could bring counsel to him, who is given to God, that God should repay. For from him, through him, to him is everything. To God be the glory.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and head of the church, this child is now received into the visible membership of the Holy Catholic Church. And when we say Catholic, it's a small c. Don't be confused there. Catholicity, all of us, all believers is the point there. She's engaged to confess the faith of Christ and to be God's faithful servant until life's end. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you cleanse and you renew. We thank you for Elena Jane. Through your grace alone, you have cleansed and renewed. Bless and strengthen her daily with the gift of your Holy Spirit. Unfold to her the riches of your love, deepening her faith, keeping her from the power of evil, and enabling her to live a holy and blameless life until your kingdom comes. Look on kindness towards Mark and Betsy. Let them ever rejoice in the gift that you have given to them. Grant them the presence of your Holy Spirit that they may bring up Elena to know you, to love you, and to serve you. Amen. Joyfully we receive Elena Jane into the body of Christ as we give witness to the world of the good news. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. Amen. So the offering will be taken at this time, and during the offertory, as we prepare for our meal afterwards, I think Brad is going to share a bit on the Liberia trip to kind of prep us for what will happen at the meal. So as the offering is taken, again, we're going to pass our friendship envelopes. Please fill out your information in there if you're visiting with us. We'd like your information so we can get a hold of you this week.
As Pastor Mark mentioned, we'll have the opportunity after the service today to join in a potluck. There'll be great food, and then we'll have a short presentation talking about the upcoming Liberian mission trip that myself, Kevin Vryhoff, Joseph, and Rachel Zarway are planning to participate in. Wanted to just provide a little bit of background. This church, over the last, I think, about 2 years, 2.5 years, has donated to rebuilding churches in Liberia, in rural Liberia. And this church has donated enough money to rebuild 2 churches and to furnish 5 churches. And through our efforts, or through the efforts of the church and how God has blessed us, there's been 7 churches rebuilt and refurnished or furnished in Liberia. And so kind of the next step that that we feel that we're being called to is to go and to make a trip over to Liberia and encourage the believers there, share the gospel in the rural areas. As Joseph has told me sometimes when I was bringing him to church, that, white missionaries have an impact in Liberia, but a Liberian preaching the gospel in Liberia has tremendous impact. And so very excited to go with Joseph and Rachel. And as far as support, certainly covet your prayers in this effort. And next week, we will have an offering. November 5, we'll have an offering. If you want to give today or want to give next week, you can just designate your offering in the memo for this Liberian trip. And so I'd encourage everyone to stay for lunch today. The food will be great. There's plenty of food, whether you brought food or not. We'll have a presentation, talk a little bit more about the trip, answer any questions you might have. And again, thanks for your interest and your support thus far and your future support. How this will work is after church, we don't have Sunday school today, and so we'll just take the chairs down, set up some tables, have lunch, and have a presentation, and be good to go after that, and so thank you.
Some of you might be nervous to eat on the new carpet, but it's okay. Just be careful. I kind of half-joked I was going to bring up a little slab of unused carpet and just pour out some coffee and say, I'll be the first. You can smell the smells, right? But notice the new carpet is in. Praise God for that as well. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for mission. We thank you, Lord, for the mission team as they prepare to head to Liberia. We thank you for the work you've allowed us to do, even partnering with other churches to build churches, Lord God. This is what you're about, the gospel spreading, you being made known, that nations will give you glory. Bless the team, Lord. Help the funds be raised. We bring before you this morning, Lord, specific needs of our church. I do pray for Don and for Joan Ryerkirk. I pray for Don, Lord, as his health has not been good. We thank you that he's home, but be with him in the days ahead. And for Joan and her pain, physical pain, we ask for relief and healing. We pray for Lauren Adams' brother, Justin Vandekirk, Lord. Be with him as he goes through chemo. We do pray for healing for his body as well. Sustain him. Be his joy even through trial. And for each of us, Lord, when our day of trial and testing come, might we have the answer of where our joy is found, because it's hard to find in that moment. Might we lean fully on you, who fully cares for the world and cares for us, that not even a hair from our head can fall unless your will allows it. Help us to trust you in good times and in bad. Lord, we thank you for the church around the globe, the church in every country, in various cities. For this church, Lord, this local expression. Together, as we as body of believers give you glory, and we thank you this morning for Elena Jane, for her baptism, for her belonging to you. I thank you for all those that belong to you here, and I pray for any of those here who don't know you, Lord, that you would create faith in them, that they would trust you. God, go with us, we do pray, that we might give you glory in all things. Soli Deo Gloria, we say, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Are there any announcements this morning? Brad did mention there's no Sunday school. Again, stick around for the meal. Any other announcements this morning? Really? All right. Well, I do have a final announcement, as we have every week, which is the sending from our God. Would you rise for the benediction? From the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 5 to 6, leave with these words in your minds, on your heart, as you seek to give glory to God in all things. To Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Mighty fortress is our God, our bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal was prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and done with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Divine, our own strength confide, our striving will be losing. Not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Just ask who that may be, Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Sabbath of his name, homage to age the same, and he must win the battle. For God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for woe is doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. All earthly powers, no thanks to them abided. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who